Conducting the interview. Here are a few more tips about conducting effective interviews. 1. Help your participant feel comfortable. Start with a minute or two of small talk so it doesn't feel like an interrogation. Remember, this is a conversation after all. 2. Ask up front if you can record. It is important that your participant knows they are being recorded, and you don't want to hide it from them or ask in the middle of your conversation. 3. Please know that it is perfectly okay to go off script when you are interviewing. While you may have thought long and hard about your questions, sometimes the interview goes into new directions you didn't anticipate. Don't be so rigid that you can't explore a new opportunity as the conversation develops. This kind of flexibility can help you learn new things you didn't even realize you could learn from an interview. 4. Do your research. Before conducting the interview, try to learn as much as you can about the person you're interviewing. What's been written about them already? Have they given interviews in the past? What kinds of questions have they answered already? And how can you ask new or updated questions? Learn statistics about the broader issue you're investigating so you can show your participant that you are interested and knowledgeable about the subject you are discussing. 5. Know the difference between open-ended and yes-no questions. In other words, you need to make sure the questions you ask can get you where you need to go in the interview. If you ask a question that can be answered in only yes or no, that's where the discussion will end. Sometimes that's okay. For example, the question, "Do you enjoy your job?" is a closed question. It can be answered simply yes or no. And depending on the purpose of your interview, that may be an important insight you'll want to know. But if you want an in-depth answer, a yes-no question won't work. Instead, ask more open-ended questions that begin with how or why or what. These questions give your participant lots of room to explore their thoughts and experiences. For example, instead of, "Do you enjoy your job?" you might ask, "What does it mean to love your job?" Transcribing and coding the interview. After you have completed the interview, now it's time to transcribe it, which means listening to it and writing out exactly what each person in the interview said. The main reason you should transcribe your interview is so you can provide direct quotes from your participant to use as evidence for claims you make in your essay. This is probably the most time-consuming aspect of your project, so make sure you budget appropriately. Here are 3 tips for effective transcription. 1. Listen to the entire interview first. Listening to the interview all the way through before transcribing can help you identify pauses and the general rhythm of the conversation. It can also help you determine who's talking at a given moment. 2. Come up with a coding system to help you transcribe quickly. As you transcribe, it is important to develop a coding system so that when you come back to it later, you can quickly identify the quotes that you need. Whether you or the interviewee speaks, for example, write out their name in all caps in the transcription document so that you don't get mixed up when you are writing your essay. Also, when you're typing the words said by each speaker, put their words into paragraphs or small chunks, and then whenever they pause or move on to a new thought, start a new paragraph. This will help you keep their points organized so that you know which ones to come back to later. As you're transcribing, you'll also want to use ellipses or dot, dot, dot to indicate pauses or breaks in speech. And after you're done transcribing, highlight important points your participant makes so that you can focus on them in your essay. For example, if you have been creating new paragraphs in your transcription document every time your participant moves on to a new thought or idea, you can highlight certain topics in specific colors. So, for example, if you're doing a profile about a person in your community, you may highlight biographical information they shared with you in red, but use a different color for stories they share about their profession, and so on. Then, in your essay, if you want to quote from them, you know which colors to look for in your notes to use. 3. Make strategic decisions about which portions of the interview you transcribe. You'll need to be strategic about how and whether you transcribe every single utterance they make, verbatim, or whether you edit their words as you transcribe, non-verbatim. For example, when we are just talking to each other out loud, we don't sound like we do when we write. Usually, when we speak, we use a lot of ums or likes or uhs as we communicate. According to the University of Wisconsin Writing Center, these utterances are normal parts of speech. Quote, "We start sentences and then interrupt ourselves and never return to complete those earlier thoughts," end quote. But with writing, it's different. When we write something down, we get to go back, edit things, refine ideas, and create a more focused train of thought. Therefore, whenever you're representing other people's speech in your writing, you have to decide whether you will transcribe those ums or whether you'll edit them out to appear more like written speech. This is the difference between verbatim transcription and non-verbatim transcription. Use verbatim transcription, or writing out exactly what your participant says as they say it, all the filler words, the likes, and the uhs, if your assignment has to do with people's individual language choices, or if your essay is analyzing or considering how humans use language, or the implications of certain kinds of words, etc. However, you may want to use non-verbatim transcription if you are simply using someone's experience to make a broader point, and you want readers to see a clear and articulate representation of the interviewee's ideas. Whatever you do, the University of Wisconsin Writing Center encourages student writers to, quote, "make sure that you are being consistent with this choice across your article, paper, report, or essay," end quote. Here's an example below of the difference between a verbatim and non-verbatim transcription, again from the University of Wisconsin Writing Center. There is no hard and fast rule about which style of transcription is best. It's all about what you are trying to accomplish with the interview and whether you think it's important the reader knows exactly how they sounded or what their ideas are. 1. Verbatim transcription. Well, you see, the problem, as I saw it, was more of a matter of representation, you know? How can I, like, be the one that's just out there declaring the way things are when I've not even, like, you know, experienced the whole process for myself? 2. Non-verbatim transcription. The problem, as I saw it, was more a matter of representation. How can I be the one that's out there declaring the way things are when I've not even experienced the whole process for myself? Using interview data in your essay. The last part of incorporating interview evidence into a college-level writing assignment is to actually write the essay. At this point, the hard part is over. You've brainstormed about the purpose and scope of the interview. You contacted and scheduled an interview with your participant. You've designed questions tailored to the assignment, and you've transcribed the audio of the interview and coded for interesting and worthwhile quotes you hope to use. Now, all you have to do is write up what you discovered. More than likely, your interview assignment will be asking you to make an argument about a topic or to analyze a particular phenomenon and then support your claims with evidence from your interviews. Even if you're doing a profile of an individual person, for example, your essay still needs to make some kind of claim or have some kind of common theme using the person's life story as evidence. Whatever the purpose of your assignment, you use an interview source the way you would use any other source in an essay, to back up a claim or a statement that you make. You are the one making the argument, so if you quote from the interview, the quote needs to be in support of a claim you are making, not the other way around. For example, let's say you're doing a profile of a local teacher and you are describing her background. You should begin by contextualizing her background with a summary and then move in with a direct quote that adds context to that summary. For instance, you might write something like this. Stacy first became interested in teaching when she was just a little girl. Quote, "One of my earliest memories is teaching my little sister how to tie her shoe," end quote, Stacy recollects. There are two things to notice here. One, the quote isn't just plopped in, forcing the reader to piece together why it is significant. There is a sentence before the quote that makes a specific point about the person. Second, the quotation doesn't just repeat the statement made before it either. Instead, the quotation provides firsthand evidence in support of the claim you are making about her background. Also, notice the verb choice for recollects as a way to attribute the quotation. There are lots of phrases for this, like, for example, according to, she said, she described, etc. Try out a variety of these throughout your essay. Conclusion. Incorporating interviews into your writing-based research project is a great way to focus on the experiences of another person and to put someone's life experiences in the context of broader social and cultural issues. But there is a lot of work that goes into the interview essay before you can even start writing. First, you need to figure out the purpose of your interview. Then, you need to select participants and design effective questions. After that, you need to actually conduct and then transcribe the interview. And then you can begin writing your essay. By the time you start writing, you will have already spent a considerable amount of time with this subject, which hopefully will help you write and sort through what you want to say. Moreover, as you write your essay, you need to make specific claims, statements, or interpretations about the subject of your interview, and utilize their words as evidence to back up your claims, much like you would any other academic source. Begin with an introduction where you introduce the broader topic of the paper in your own words, and then move to separate paragraphs that make specific points about your interviewee or the broader subject your paper is about. Use quotes from your color-coded interview transcript that back up or provide context to the points you are making in those body paragraphs. Make sure the quotes you choose don't just repeat what you were writing, either. The quotes you choose need to extend, support, or clarify your writing. If you've done a good job on your interview essay, you will come to new ideas, arguments, or insights by putting your own writing in conversation with the quotations of others. Using interview data in your essays can make your writing more exciting and engaging. It can also help you make sense of big topics through the very specific experiences of individual people. And as we saw in the introduction of this chapter, the skills you develop conducting interviews will help you in a vast array of other fields, from journalism to accounting. Using interviews in your writing classes can also help you develop confidence or expand your personal network. At its core, though, conducting interviews for college-level writing assignments is a great way, at least briefly, to walk in somebody else's shoes. By using writing to see the world through someone else's eyes, we can think more critically about our world and the diverse ways everyday people navigate it. About the author. Dr. Tyler Branson is an assistant professor of English and the associate director of composition at the University of Toledo. He has published articles in College Composition and Communication, Composition Studies, and WPA, Writing Program Administration. And he has essays in the edited collections Bad Ideas About Writing and The Cambridge Handbook of Service Learning and Community Engagement. His book, Policy Regimes, College Writing and Public Education Policy in the United States, is forthcoming from Southern Illinois University Press.